Well, I just wanted to start out with a little review of last week, the great harlot. And in Revelation 17 and verse 1, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." And again, remember, many waters speaks of humanity. And how do we know that? Because in verse 15, it says, then he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues." So there's a harlot who sits on many waters. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And so this is speaking of spiritual adultery or fornication with the world. We know that there's a one-world religion that's being formed. A whole system is being set up. Political leaders are going to mingle with false religion and work together cooperatively, at least for a season. It won't last forever, but it will for a season. And many believe that chapter 17 is describing religious Babylon, and that chapter 18 will talk about and focus more on the commercial aspect of it. And so religious Babylon is really includes apostate Christianity and both Protestant and Catholic and all false religions. And it could very well be referring to the ecumenical movement of our day, where all the religions are coming together in a great movement where they're allowing all differences, distinctions to kind of blend together and become one world church. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but intoxication is really speaking of delusion, and people are in a stupor because of their unrepentant hearts. If a person is proud, if a person is unrepentant, then they're very vulnerable to the deception of the enemy. God gives his grace to the humble, to the teachable, to the ones who realize that they don't know it all, but that we need God in order to know truth. You can't know truth except by the Spirit of truth and the Word. Amen. So tonight I want to talk about the identity of Babylon. And this is in Revelation 17, 3 through 18. And the archaeologists have claimed that Babylon was a cradle of modern civilization. And this civilization was founded by Nimrod, who was a rebellious man before God. And according to historical documents excavated from the ruins, this city generated some of the greatest wickedness known to man in ancient times. It is believed that at this place on the banks of the Euphrates River, false religion started. And false religion is man's attempt for self-governance and defiance to God's will. Because if you think about it, every religion in the world except for true Christianity is based upon self and what I can get from it and what I can get from my God. People give sacrifices to their idols in hopes that they'll get a better return and that they'll get something from the idol. And so there's no real love relationship there. There's no true relationship. It's just this entity that they try to appease and make a deal with in hopes that this entity will give them some kind of favor. Because in false religion, self really becomes the center of everything. And yet in Christianity, Christ is supposed to be the center of everything. And not ourselves. God will take care of us if we take care of him. Amen. And his business is what I'm talking about. God doesn't, you know, require us taking care of him. But he does call you and I to partner with him in order to accomplish his will in the earth. And that's throughout scripture. We see that God has always called men and women for the task at hand. And so here we see John is carried away in the spirit into the wilderness, where he sees a very unusual sight. And so we're going to begin reading chapter 17, verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. So John saw this vision of a harlot sitting on a scarlet-colored beast. And she was clothed in purple and scarlet and wearing all kinds of jewelry made of gold and pearls and precious stones. And these colors speak of rulership and were the colors of the emperors from the time of Constantine, 312 AD. So it says in her hand was a gold cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornications, which really is referring to false religion and idol worship. It's spiritual adultery, having other gods before God, the Almighty God. And so think about this. In Christianity, you know, we basically exalt a crucified Savior. Amen? And so to the world, that's foolishness. It doesn't make sense to the natural understanding. Who would worship a crucified God except we understand why Jesus came and why he had to die? Amen? Why he was willing to lay down his life for us? Because we couldn't save ourselves. And so 1 Corinthians 1:18 says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who perish, right? We're perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, on this harlot, it says there was a headband with the name Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and they have the abominations of the earth. So this is speaking of a mother speaks of what offspring. So this is something that is reproducing in the earth. And who is this mother of harlots? Well, one of the things that you need to remember is when we interpret the scripture is that when the literal meaning of scripture makes common sense, then we should seek no other meaning. So if it's something that we can say, you know, this makes just common sense, then you don't, we have to be careful because sometimes we are putting into type things that are literal, you know. So we need to know the difference between that which is symbolic and that which is literal. And we need the Holy Spirit, of course, to be, you know, really able to understand what God is saying. So the harlotry speaks of religious apostasy. In James 4:4, James said, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Now, what is the world? The world, again, is the cosmos, right? It is that system that is in rebellion to the reign of God. We're not to love the world or the things of the world as God's people. Why? Because our kingdom is not of this world. In Christ, we have been transferred, right, from the kingdom of darkness in the kingdom of his dear Son. So we have citizenship in heaven. We have a new name, amen, and new ownership. Hallelujah. And so the harlot is also referred to in Revelation 17, 18 as a great city. Revelation 17, 18. "And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." So now we see this being referred to as what? A city, a great city. In verse 2, we read that this harlot commits fornications with what? The kings of the earth. "With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Another thing about false religion is it appeases the flesh, the lower sensual bestial nature that we were born with. The fallen nature. And so the truth messes with our natural man, our natural reasoning. And so to those who do not want to receive the truth, okay, it's going to be offensive to them. But it's only by the grace of God that we're even in a place where we desire to know truth. Because it means that God has to work on the heart of an individual. God has to plow up the hardened soil of the heart and prepare an individual to be receptive to receive the word. So we need to understand that it's by the mercy of God that we're saved. It's by his grace, and we just need to be thankful for what we have understood and what God has shared with us. Now, God referred to Jerusalem in times past as a harlot as well in Isaiah 1, verse 21. "How the faithful city," speaking of Jerusalem here, "has become a harlot. It was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers." So God was saying, no longer considered Jerusalem a city of faithfulness or justice and righteousness. It's now referred to as a harlot city and a refuge for murderers and full of corruption. So what was taking place? The same thing we see happening today. There's bribery, right? All kinds of injustice taking place. It's hard to find justice today, isn't there? Isn't it? Yeah. So this spirit really is a spirit of Antichrist. This woman, this harlot, you know, represents the apostate church who rides on what? On the world and mingled together or married to the world in that sense. So the spirit of Antichrist deceives the minds of many to the degree that they do not even realize what is happening to them because they are intoxicated. And sometimes people who are drunk think they're doing quite well. You know, even people that are high, they may think they've got it all together, but people around them know that they don't. But in their own minds, they're doing fine. And that's the deceptiveness of committing spiritual adultery and being opening yourself up to deception from Satan to blind your eyes and even to bring deception, meaning you believe a lie as though it were true. And I believed lies about myself as if they were true. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to reveal what is true so we can have an attitude adjustment. Amen. That our minds can be renewed for the purpose of our souls being restored. And so Babylon the Great here is it's revealing the final apostate world church system. And it's going to have its roots in the false religions of history. There's nothing new under the sun. So what is the meaning of the beast upon which she sits? Think about this. An apostate Christendom, a false religion, right? Mingled with what? The world, the beast. Well, 17 in verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. So this scarlet-covered beast in Revelation 17 is the same one that we read about in Revelation 13, in verse 1. So this beast represents the Antichrist and with this confederation of nations. And talks about the beast system or the world system. It's full of names of blasphemy, having what? Seven heads and 10 horns. This speaks of a confederacy of nations or even territories. You know, it could be regions. The world has been divided into 10 regions. Did you know that? And so even now, this seems to be coming together. We're watching it happen, unfold before our eyes. This political and economic system. Well, the first thing that's going to happen is that the harlot is going to find support. Because remember, she's riding or sitting upon this system, finding her support. Okay? As she is seen riding on the beast. But later, it will turn around, and so she will be forsaken. In verse 16, it says, "And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot and make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire." How many know that compromising with the world never win? You never win when you compromise. And the city of Rome is also in ancient times was the capital, as you know, of the Roman Empire. And the center of persecution against Christians. And so in verse 6, John saw the harlot drunk with what? The blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. So because of her alliance with the Antichrist, the apostate church will be guilty of the blood of those who are martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Because in Revelation 18:24 it says, "In her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and of all who were slain on the earth." Now think about this. People would never expect people, even that consider themselves to be Christians, to turn on one another, to forsake one another, right? To betray one another. And sometimes people have done that over spilled milk, over the slightest things. A little pressure, and they've turned, you know, on people. And I think that if we're not careful and we don't guard ourselves, you know, we could also very easily crumble under pressure and do things that we should not. It's like the person that gets caught doing something, and then they have witnesses, and they bring these witnesses in, or they start to talk to people and interrogate them, and they put them under pressure. And if they're a good interrogator, they can usually get that person to squeal, right, or to tell on them. And so the devil knows how to use peer pressure on us to get us to conform to what he wants and to do what he wants and to deny the Lord. Remember Peter. But Jesus said this, that in the last days, in Mark 13:12, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to even to be put to death. Back to the text in Revelation 17:7, but the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. Verse 8, the beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition or destruction. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, so the angel is going to explain to John the mystery of the woman and the beast. And the beast that John saw was the Roman Empire that existed in the past. It is not, it says, because it broke up and it no longer exists as a world empire today. And it says it will ascend out of the bottomless pit. It will reappear in a particularly diabolical form. And then it says, and go to perdition. It will be utterly destroyed. So refer this to as the revived Roman Empire, a world order, a world government system that will be in rebellion to God, where man will be exalted into the place of being God. And that's what happens with socialism, isn't it? And communism is like the state itself becomes God. It replaces God, tries to. So the revival of the Roman Empire and the appearance of its charismatic leader, which would be the Antichrist, will cause the world to marvel. Now, obviously, if we're looking around in our world today, we see the formation of this one world government. You know, they're over there in talks all the time, and they're using the word global this, global that, you know, world health, world whatever, you know. Rather than America, it's the world, the world, the world. And there are certain people that want to replace us or to destroy our sovereignty and bring us under this one world order. And so there's going to be a one world monetary system. They're working on this, one world religion, one world military. And our leaders, again, are pushing for this globalism, some of them. Now, when Paul wrote this letter, remember he wrote a letter to the Thessalonica. The mystery of lawlessness was already at work at that time, the spirit of Antichrist. In 2 Thessalonians 2:7, it says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Not in it, but he. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. And we know that is the Antichrist. So what's going to happen first is that which restrains is going to be removed, isn't it? Now, we'll get to that. Even in Paul's day, we know there was a tremendous spirit of rebellion towards the Lord. It was already at work beneath the surface. And so it was, in a sense, it was a mystery Babylon, a mystery religion, because it was kind of hidden. It's been undercover until recently, more and more. It's just coming right out, isn't it? It's right in our face now. But the mystery form, meaning it was not yet fully manifested, it was still in germ form. But it says, he who now restrains. Well, what has hindered to this point the full display of the spirit of Antichrist? Now, most of us will probably agree that, well, it must be the Holy Spirit in the church who has been placed here on assignment. Amen? It's our prayers, the prayers of the saints, our intercession, praying for our Father who art in heaven, what, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth. And so it's you and I in partnership with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, praying for the Father's will to be done, and we are resisting the evil and the agenda of the enemy. And that's why the devil hates us and the people that follow him hate us, because we are hindering their selfish ambitions. So we believe that which hinders, of course, is he being the Holy Spirit through the church. And that's the prayers of the saints and also the spread of the gospel, the message of the word. Amen. Now, he who now restrains, well, has hindered to this point the full display of the spirit of Antichrist. What has hindered it? Again, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, until what? Until he's taken away. Now, Barnes says this, the supposition which will best suit this language is that there was then some civil restraint preventing the development of existing corruptions, but that there would be a removal or withdrawing of that restraint, and that then the tendency of the existing corruptions would be seen. Some civil restraint. Now think about it. Right now, we do have civil restraints in place. We in America have a constitution. There are laws, okay, that are opposing this type of world governance. However, that's being ignored as of late. So we're certainly under attack, aren't we? Because America has been a golden cup. America has been a blessing in this world. And we have been carriers of the gospel into all the world. And God has had his hand on us. And by the grace of God, we pray that he will continue to keep his hand on us. Because if the Lord takes his hand off us, we're through. And I believe that the Lord has withdrawn to some degree. But I believe he wants to wake us up and bring us back and to repentance, amen, and faith again. Now, Guzik says this, taken out of the way, we should not think that the Holy Spirit would leave the earth during the Great Tribulation. Because this is one of the questions I've had, too. Is, well, if the Holy Spirit's gone, then how are people going to get saved during the Great Tribulation, see? Well, he will be present on the earth during the Great Tribulation because many are saved, sealed, and serve God during this period. And that's Revelation 7, 3 through 14, and Revelation 14, 1 through 5. And this can't happen without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, but not removed. Taken out of the way, but not removed. Okay. One thing we know for sure, like Jesus said, the times are in the Father's hands. The times are in the Father's hands. And in his appointed time, the Antichrist will be fully revealed. And I know throughout history, people have speculated, Ronald Reagan, you know, whoever, Hitler, certainly, they are types of Antichrist, aren't they? False prophets. But what's going to happen is when this man of perdition, this world dictator, this evil world ruler is revealed, that he'll reign for a season, but when the Lord returns, he's going to consume him, right? The breath of his mouth. Hallelujah. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with what? The brightness of his coming. So the Lord's going to return. Amen. And I believe the work of the Antichrist is not going to be that long. And I believe that he will impersonate Jesus. He will impersonate Buddha. He will impersonate all the false prophets as well as the true Christ, Jesus, amen. And that's why this person is going to have to embody all of this. So he's going to have to be very deceptive. And in order to do that, he's going to have to eliminate the cross from the message. Before the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what foolishness. And so if you take the cross out of the message, you have a counterfeit. And that way, because this is what distinguishes us, is we understand that there is salvation, none other. And it was only Jesus Christ, the perfect sinless Lamb of God, amen, that could be our sacrifice, that could take away the sins of the world, because the blood that he shed, amen, was not linked to the blood of Adam, but to the Holy Spirit, amen. And therefore, he was the perfect sacrifice. And if you take away the cross, you take away the blood, amen, then Jesus just becomes another man or another prophet. And they can all just kind of meet together in the same happy little family that people are trying to put him in. Amen. The difference between Jesus and all the other so-called prophets is that Jesus was God incarnate. Amen. That he was deity. Hallelujah. He was the Word of God that became the Son of God. Hallelujah. One with the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And so Jesus said himself, John 14:6, you know this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And so those who teach this and believe this message, exclusivity, if you will, that only through Jesus can you be saved, causes a problem for the enemy, amen, for the spirit of Antichrist that's trying to bring all the religions together under one world dictator who will try to fill all these roles of all these prophets that have all come before. And we know it'll be Satan incarnate, won't it? So even as we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so we also have the unholy Trinity, right? The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And so I believe, very possibly, and I won't get into all this tonight, but that the Jews are not going to accept a non-Jewish Messiah. So very possibly he's going to be coming out of the Jewish kin. Because he's going to be, again, the Messiah, you see, and in place of. But somehow this person, people have speculated, well, is it going to be one of the popes? Where all the people from the world seem to go, all the leaders of the world seem to make their journey, don't they, to Rome and to kiss his hand and to be blessed by the Pope. And so if anything, he's certainly anyone that would put himself in the place of Christ, okay, is also operating in a spirit of Antichrist or in place of Christ. And so even referred to as the vicar of Christ, you know. So we have to be careful. We understand that we are to go to the Father through the Son. Amen? There was one intermediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so there are not many ways. You can't pray through saints to get to the Father. You can't pray through Mary. And that's another deception. Because Jesus says, I am the door. You know, we have to enter in through that door. Through him we have to come. Amen? To find pasture, right? So he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. He laid it down willingly. And he's opened the door for us. Hallelujah. And so we have to be strong in the Lord. We have to continue to press on, to believe, and to stand firm in the faith. Amen. And not be moved away from the foundations of what really the true gospel message is, which is really the gospel of the cross. Amen.